For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Day sitting here. This is also the beginning of a practice commitment period for some of you. And we're focusing the next 2 months on Jantong Hongzhi and material from cultivating the empty field. And so just briefly to introduce Hongzhi, he was the most important Soto or Chinese Saodo teacher in the century before Dogen, who brought the Soto, founded Soto school in Japan. And Hongzhi's teachings are poetic, evocative, practice instructions that help us orient towards awakening. And I'm just going to be, through these 2 months, reading and commenting on some of these teachings from Hongzhi. And I'm going to start today. I may jump around during the 2 months, but I'm going to start today at the beginning of his practice instructions. And I'll read some of it and comment on it. And then for the people who are here for the day, we'll have a discussion time in the afternoon. But for since there are others joining us, we'll have some time for discussion too. He starts off by saying, the field of boundless emptiness is what exists from the very beginning. So this awareness, this awakening, this connection with boundlessness, with emptiness, with reality is not something we have to discover or invent or find out. It's here on your seat from the very beginning. That's his starting point. He says you must purify, cure, grind down, or brush away all the tendencies you have fabricated into apparent habits. Then you can reside in the circle of brightness. So, Zazen, you know, for some of the time, for some of us, is difficult because it's physically uncomfortable. Certainly when we sit for a day or for several days, we'll sit for 3 days at the end of this practice period, you know, it physically can be uncomfortable or even painful at times. But what's most difficult is this, is just facing the wall, which is to say facing all the tendencies we have fabricated from apparent habits. So, because of causes and conditions in whatever dharma position we're in, we do have habitual ways of thinking, habitual ways of reacting, various tendencies, and it's not, you know, he says in this to purify them or brush away, but in some sense, many of these habits remain through our whole practice life, in many lifetimes, or they may. The point is not to be caught by them. So this is what Hongzhe talks about. When we can let go of our sense of controlling who we are and how we see the world and so forth, we can reside, we can settle, we can be present in the clear circle of brightness, as he calls it. So, utter emptiness has no image. Upright independence does not rely on anything, he says. So, of course, we have things we try to rely on. This is natural. This is how our human life is. But this basic awareness, this basic awakening, is not caught in anywhere. So he says, it does not rely on anything, just expand and illuminate the original truth, the fundamental reality, unconcerned by external conditions. So expand and illuminate is interesting. Part of this practice is our sense of space and spaciousness. So how do we expand? How do we open up to the true vastness of our life and our reality? Our life is also caught in causes and conditions. We have particular dharma positions, as Dogen says, particular karmic situations, particular limitations of perceptions and awareness. But then to just be present in those limitations, to enjoy, in some sense, who you is. Not try to escape from yourself, but to see that the limitations we have also are connected with this boundless emptiness. Later on in the practice instructions, there's a particular kind of meditation on space. So this is something we can do, and you can do during it. For those of you who are sitting here for the day, whether you're online or in the Zendo, just to feel the spaciousness, to feel the space of this room and all of us together in it, to feel the space of Lincoln Square, this section of Chicago, to feel the space to the lake, the space to, I don't know, from the west to O'Hare or whatever. We can visualize or imagine that and connect with the spaciousness of all of reality. So just expand and illuminate. Illuminate invokes light, but it's also just our awareness. We're always aware of something. How do we bring it forth for ourselves? How do we express the space of our life for others? How do we take care of the world, of friends and family? So all of this is part of what Hongzhe will talk about. In this field, this empty field, birth and death do not appear. We go beyond birth and death. We embrace birth and death and are not caught by birth and death. The deep source, transparent down to the bottom, can radiantly shine and can respond, unencumbered, to each speck of dust without becoming its partner. The subtlety of seeing and hearing transcends mere colors and sounds. So this sentence is wonderful and important. The deep source, transparent down to the bottom, can radiantly shine and respond. So there's lots of talk about the source in Zen. discourse. Shuto, Shekito, in Sangha Kai, Harmony of Difference and Sameness, Hongzhu never had to deal with computers and Zoom meetings. He spent his whole life talking to his monks on Mount Chantong, where later Dogen went and met his teacher, Chetong Rujin. Anyway, this thing about the source is interesting and important. The source is right here, on your seat, right now. There's a poem by Wang Wei I've talked about sometimes. The key line is, follow the stream back to the source and sit and wait for the time when clouds arise. So as we're sitting, you know, this is a practice you can do. You can see the source of our perceptions, of our thinking patterns, and so forth. And maybe you don't get all the way back to the source, but just sitting by the side of the stream, it's okay. Facing the wall, breathing, inhaling and exhaling. This source, the ever-present source, is right here. This fundamental reality, which is the source of everything. So he says, again, this deep source, transparent down to the bottom. There's nothing to block it, actually. Can respond unencumbered to each speck of dust without becoming its partner. This is really important in terms of our practice. How do we respond? So our practice is not This sitting and this practice of patience that's involved in this just sitting for a period or a day is not passive. We bring our attention to each thought and feeling, to each physical sensation. We face the wall. We face ourselves. And we can respond to the difficulties in our life and in our world. How do we find our way of responding? And there's not some instruction manual, because everything is always shifting. Even though it's all this source. So this is a practice, this is a responsive practice. How do we respond to our life? How do we respond to our world? And the source can respond unencumbered by each speck of dust without becoming its partner. So dust is in, translated into English, dust is actually a technical term. It means, in Sanskrit, kleshas, it means the phenomena of the world. Everything that we perceive, even the things we don't perceive, all of the sense objects or thought objects. So in Buddhism, our mind and mind objects is another sense, like seeing in colors or like hearing in sounds. How do we respond to what's going on in the world? How do we respond to the terrible sadness and suffering that is part of our world? How do we enjoy that which is joyful? How do we let, so Hongzhou will get to this in the practice period, talks about romping and playing in samadhi, in meditation, in our settledness, playing with this source. But in this part, he says that the source can respond unencumbered to each speck of dust without becoming its partner, without getting caught by colors and sounds. Of course, there are colors we like and maybe colors we don't like. I like blue. It just happens. Some people may not like blue. They like the blues too. That's the sound. But some sounds are pleasant, some sounds are harsh. How do we not get caught by that and try and manipulate some so-called reality out there so that we only get the good stuff. This is one of the causes of suffering. But Ong just says that we can respond unencumbered, unburdened, to each bit of dust without becoming its partner, without being caught by it. He says the whole affair functions without leaving traces and mirrors without obscurations. Before that, he says, the subtlety of seeing and hearing transcends mere colors and sounds. So this is an actual practice we can do, to be aware of our seeing, of how we see the wall, or we see the floor, or we see whatever is apparent in our field of vision, without, it says, transcending mere colors and sounds. We appreciate the colors, but we don't need to be caught by them. The same with sounds. So sometimes during the day you may hear, here in the Zendo, the sound of the L going by nearby, or you may hear the sound of an airplane going over. We don't need to be caught up in, whether we like it or dislike it. It's not the point. It's just this field that we, this boundless field, this empty field that we are part of. He says it a different way towards the end of the practice instructions. I'll come back to this, but if I can find it. He says, with 100 grass tips, which means a busy marketplace, this source of all the stuff in the world and all the dust. So he says, with 100 grass tips in a busy marketplace, share yourself, which means share this awareness, this settledness that we get tastes of during Sazen, during an all-day sitting. Doesn't mean that we totally, we don't hang out there, we don't hide out there, but we get a sense of it in this Sazen practice. So we share ourselves, and then he says, wide open and accessible, walking along, casually mount the sounds and straddle the colors while you transcend listening and surpass watching. So, in the earlier one, he says, transcend mere colors and sounds. Here he says, mount the sounds, straddle the colors, transcend listening and surpass watching. A different way of saying the same thing. How do we not be caught by colors, sounds, by our own thoughts, by our own ideas? How do we settle into something deeper or get glimpses of something deeper? We can't settle there permanently. We get up from the Zendo, we get up from all day sitting and go out into our world and into the difficulties of the world. But how do we not be caught by all of this? So this is part of what Hongzhi is talking about. I'll continue in the text and commenting a little bit further. The whole affair functions without leaving traces and mirrors without obscurations. Very naturally, mind and dharmas or things, objects of mind, thoughts, sounds, colors, emerge and emerge and harmonize? How do we bring it all together? How do we harmonize with it? So this is the process of, and the core of this tradition that Hongzhi and Dogen and Suzuki Roshi and now all of us here are engaged in. How do we find the harmony between the ultimate source and all the stuff in the world, including all the difficulties, all the sadnesses? How do we find our way to harmonize the ultimate that we get some taste of in Zazen, some little glimpse of? Or if we keep sitting long enough, you know, it becomes a little more accessible, this ultimate source, this openness. But it's not separate. It's not something other than the colors and sounds, the thoughts and feelings, the difficulties in the world, big difficulties in our world this year. How do we respond to it all? How do we find the harmony of it? Enacting and fulfilling a way of non-mind, of not being caught by mind objects. Finally, you can rest. So what Hongzhi's practice instructions are about is how we find some rest, some relief, some relaxation. In Shuto's Song of the Grass Hut, we sometimes chant, he says, let go of hundreds of years and relax completely. Same thing. And of course, if you walk into a zendo where everybody's sitting up straight and silent, and you know, it doesn't look like they're all relaxing, but that's actually what our zazen is about. How do we rest and relax into this harmonization of the ultimate truth and the stuff of the world? He says, with thoughts clear, not being caught up in dwelling thinking, sitting silently, wander into the center of the circle of wonder. So this is the basic instruction for our sitting today. Sit silently, thoughts clear, just there, just here. Allow wandering into the center in the circle of wonder. This life is amazing. This life is wondrous and wonderful, and also terrible and sad sometimes. They're not separate. So I'm going to go a little bit into the next practice instruction. The practice of true reality. When I was a kid, I wondered, what's true reality? When I was a kid last week, I wondered, what's true reality? What is the real truth of this world, of our life, of this experience of being alive as the person on your seat now? Hongzhi says, the practice of true reality is simply to sit serenely in silent introspection. So our zazen gives us this opportunity to find some calm, some serenity, some settledness, and to feel this wondrous true reality, ultimate reality, that's not separate from, in Buddhism they have this idea that two truths, the ultimate reality and then all of the mixed up phenomena. So Hongzhi says, when you have fathomed this, you cannot be turned around by external causes and conditions. So when we settle into this, and it takes time for most of us, we have the chance to not be turned around by all of the causes and conditions out there. The empty, wide-open mind is subtly and correctly illuminating, spacious and content. Again, this is about space, about opening ourselves up to not be feeling constricted or limited, right in the middle of our limitations. This empty, wide-open mind, this boundless mind, is subtly and correctly illuminating, spacious and content, without confusion from inner thoughts of grasping, effectively overcome habitual behavior and realize the self that is not possessed by emotions. So, all of our thoughts and feelings and emotions, and, you know, it's not that we should get rid of our emotions. It's not about becoming a Zen zombie. Please don't do that. But facing, settling, accepting, our emotions, not to be possessed by them. One of the gifts of Zazen is, and there are many gifts, but is the chance to just see how it is that we react to colors and sounds and thoughts, our patterns and habits of emotional reaction. And, you know, sometimes some of those we can let go of, but the point is to not be caught or possessed by them. We can see our own patterns of emotions and not be caught. He says you must be broad-minded, whole without relying on others. So nobody else can tell you how to be you as Buddha. It's already there. Buddha is already on your seat, whether you're in the Zendo or online. But how do you find your own space and openness? Such upright, independent spirit, Hongzhi continues, can begin not to pursue degrading situations. Here you can rest and become clean, pure, and lucid. Bright and penetrating, you can immediately return accord and respond to deal with events. So the point of this practice is not to become some virtuoso samadhi master or whatever, meditation master, but to meet your life, to have a space, the space of Zazen, in which you can not be caught or possessed by all the thoughts and feelings that are coming up again and again. So letting go of thoughts and feelings doesn't mean suppressing them. It means, okay, opening the hand of thought, as Uchiha Maharoshi said. And, you know, this can happen in the middle of a period of Zazen. Maybe for some people throughout a period of Zazen. But then at some point, you know, all the thoughts and feelings come back again. And that's okay. We're not trying to escape from our emotions or thoughts or feelings. We are finding our way to illuminate and open up in the midst of all that. So So through the next 2 months, through these practice periods, we'll have talks Sunday and Monday about various of these Dharma words or practice instructions from Hongzhe. Many of them are poetic, evocative, using nature metaphors, giving us a chance to feel how it is, to just open up to reality, true reality. And again, this isn't about escaping from the difficulties of true reality and of the phenomenal world. In fact, it's about how do we find our place to respond helpfully to the world. So we end all of our talks and sittings with the four bodhisattva vows. We vow to relieve suffering. We vow to enter all the opportunities the world presents us, all the Dharma gates, to allow the Buddha on our seat in our body mind to appear and open up. And how to respond is an art. You know, it's there's no instruction manual. How do we sit patiently and observe all the situations and sadnesses and difficulties and challenges and joys of the world and respond? And sometimes we don't see any helpful way to respond. Sometimes all we can do is just sit and pay attention. And our sitting in zazen for a period or for a day or for 2 months is about helping us to just sit and be present and pay attention. But when we're doing that, you know, the sixth ancestor, Ringam, great illiterate ancestor of ours, working man, he talks about the oneness of prajna and samadhi. When we settle into this sitting, insights arise. And sometimes those insights can show us helpful ways to respond to some situation. And sometimes it's trial and error. We try something. It doesn't help. That's okay. The situation is changing. So this is a very dynamic practice. We can't control it. We can't, you know, completely define it. Of course, there are, you know, apart from this just sitting like this, there are objects of attention that can be helpful. It can help us settle, working with the breath, paying attention to inhale and exhale, paying attention to sound, the sound of the projector, but all the sounds around us, paying attention to body and mind and the discomforts that arise in body and mind. So from this settled place, there's this process of harmonizing with the 10,000 things, with all the sense tests, with all the phenomenal complications of our world, but doing it from a place that's a little settled. And this practice is kind of a endless process, lifelong learning, how to open up to how wonderful it is to be alive, even in the difficulties. So, I've been babbling long enough. For the people who are sitting all day, we will have a discussion this afternoon, but I want to take a little time right now, if anyone online or in the room has any comments or questions, we can take a little bit of time for that. So you can help me with the people online, and if you're here, you can just raise your hand. And if nobody has any comments or questions, you can just sit on the bit. So for people sitting in the room, there was a sound just now that I recognized as the L going by. But I didn't have to stop and think, oh, what is that sound? It was just immediately here. Ruben, is there some hand?
I think Kathy has her hand up. Yes, please, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Yourself.
Thank you, Tigan. For this talk and for the study on Hongzhe, who is a favorite of mine. And I was just thinking, you know, I began reading again parts of Cultivating the Empty Field this week, and it struck me how much he's saying, you know, you're not trying to acquire a different state of mind. It's more becoming aware, it seems, of our own process, becoming more self-observant, being able to detach from all of our constructing things and observe more what's happening in our own minds. It seems like a very self-reflective coaching, which I don't think I ever thought of it completely that way before. So I don't know, any thoughts about that?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I agree. And this Hongzhe's teaching, like Dogen's teaching, like many of the old stories, one can go back to again and again, and how they feel to us changes from time to time, from decade to decade. And this is why they survived 1,000 years. So, yeah, thank you. So during these 2 months, we'll have a chance to dip further into Hongzhe's teaching. Other comments or responses? Just to say a little bit more about this fundamental source. Not some outside that we can glorify. It's not some person in the sky or down underground. It's the functioning of reality all around and within us. So it's very subtle and it's kind of mysterious. But everybody here is in some relationship with it. And we don't have to figure anything out or define it or whatever, but to tenderly kind of feel how it feels. Allow it to express the ultimate, in, just right in our own thoughts and feelings and limitations. Oh, there's a hand up.
I have a question.
Okay, Ruben.
It sounded earlier like you said that sitting by the stream is somehow different than being with the source. And I would like to hear more about that.
Oh, well, partly I was saying that they're not different. But yet that One Way's poem is about following the stream back to the source, trying to get back to, you know, the source of... It's a practice that we can do. It's not that we have to kind of trace and track it, but where does some thought cloud arise? I actually once did this when I was living at Tassajara, in one of the side streams from the creek over the Hogback. I walked pretty far back up it. I think I got to the source, I can't remember, but it was okay just to look at, you know, whatever thoughts or feelings are here. And not try it. It's not about figuring something out, but it's about just, it's tactile, you know, it's feeling that. And, you know, when you sit by the side of the stream, we're feeling the water drifting by. And they say you can't step into the same stream twice because it's alive. But we can sit and watch the stream. I think there's this in Herman Hesse's Siddhartha, I think there's a scene like that. Anyway, so yeah, when thoughts and feelings arise, we sit and we are present with them. And just to feel what you feel with it, I think is the point. And if you get back to, if you get back to where you see a thought bubble or a feeling or a sensation arise, that's a source.
Thank you.
But it's a shifting dynamic source. Well, except for, you know, some creeks. I was once camping in the Rockies and found a place where a stream was starting to come out of the ground. That's the source of that little stream. Questions or responses, we can do our closing. Chant.
Answer us all, we bow to reality.
notes. So.